Hello and welcome to episode 48 of Good Games Well Played. I'm Clint, aka JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And we've got a lot of Black Friday deals going on. Of course, we still have the same ones on PlayStation and Xbox, and I think there's also some on Steam, although Steam always has sales. I tried looking the other day to see if there's anything standout. The problem is that either it's stuff I've never heard of because it's a lot of more indie titles, you know, or triple B, double A kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if they have big stuff. I'm sure everything, all the AAA games, if they're on Steam, like Guardians of the Galaxy, are also on sale there. But yeah, there's a lot of Black Friday sales going on. And the physical editions are even more discounted. We talked about this last week, how on the PlayStation storefront, where they sell their, you know, they do their direct for the PlayStation 5s, they have a bunch of physical games you can get for cheaper than their digital counterparts. But Amazon also, and Walmart also added some discounts as well. But like Deathloop, you can get that for $25 on Amazon, which is, you know, $35 off. And that's,
yeah, that was a great edition. Deal.
Yeah, and then Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart's on sale for $50. Guardians of the Galaxy, which is also on sale digitally, you can get it for $27 physically from like GameStop. I think Amazon has the same deal as well, and PlayStation as well. So I'd be like, definitely get on that for Guardians, because I feel like that's going to be one of those underplayed games of the year. That's like really good, and I feel like, yeah, not a lot of people are going to end up playing it because it came out later and people have to play all these other games for the end of year discussions, at least in the games media side. But yeah, definitely check that out. There's also some other deals on Resident Evil Village. You can get that at GameStop for $20 for PS5. There's a Western Digital 1 TB SSD at Best Buy that's on sale for $150. Normally it's like $240, something like that, but it does need a heat sink. But those are like $6 to $10. You can get those for super cheap as well. And there's also another SSD that's on sale right now from a company called, what's it called? XPG Gamix S70 Blade 1 TB SSD, which is $130. So a little cheaper, and it has its own heatsink. I think it's supposed to be a pretty good one. I'm not familiar with the brand, but I believe I've seen this one shared a lot with, like, on Digital Foundry talking about it as well. So I was looking at that. I was like, I could get this just to get it. Don't know if I don't necessarily need it, but you know, I because I have the external 2 TB SSD, and I pretty much, if I'm done with the PS5 game and I have to make room, I just chuck it over there. And of course that has all any of the PS4 games on there that I still have. But yeah, it's I was like, do I really need one? No, but it is Black Friday. I could end up getting it, you know, and then that could
just
be
just to have it, just in case. Yeah,
exactly. Just to have it, because you never know. But yeah, so I might look at it. I'll probably eyeball it, and then I'll be like, yeah, I'll just jump on it and get it. But but yeah, so yeah, if you're looking for an internal SSD expansion for your PS5, I'm curious what that means too. Like, I haven't seen any sales for the Microsoft ones for the Series X and S, the cards. Like, I'm wondering, because those are, you know, they're with partnership with a SSD manufacturer, I think Seagate, right? And then, but if they're going to go on discount because they're, you know, labeled and designed specifically for that console. So I'm curious why I haven't seen those. I wonder if they're waiting to announce that on like, you know, Monday when all the Cyber Monday deals come out, and if it's going to last for a while. But I figured Xbox would have done that much sooner. So it's interesting that it's not there. And obviously not every SSD that can fit in the PS5 is on sale. It's mainly just these two, the Western Digital, which is a reputable brand, obviously. And then that the other one, the Gamix one, but yeah, $130 is not bad for internal SSD like that, NVMe SSD. Yeah, and then we can go ahead and move on to the news. Again, check out all those deals. A lot of them are the PlayStation ones are still going on for a while. I think they last until the 20. Yeah, they last until the 29th. So you have just a couple. Well, by the time this posts, that'll be the last day. So let me check out that. It's like a lot of deals there. I didn't end up buying anything. I was looking at Back 4 Blood, because it was on sale, and I was like, it's on sale for, I think the on digital it's on sale for like $42, but I think the physical copy of it is like $25. And I was like, oh, from shit. Amazon. And I was like, you know what? I can kind of see getting it. I got to talk to my cousin and see if he can, because I feel like it still needs some balance issues. Like, some people still have problems with the spawn rate of the special infected in that game. I see that a lot in the subreddit. And it's like, why are you spawning like just 8 tall boys right next to me at this place and some of the harder difficulties. So, but I feel like if it was not full price, I feel like at 25, I could probably get my money's worth out of that for that game. Cause I did enjoy what I played in the beta. It just, the AI needed some work. I know they fixed the AI somewhat when that launched. And at this point, you could probably just play with, you know, normal people. But, yeah. So maybe I'll grab that. I don't know. We'll see.
And if you're planning to play it anyway, I mean, might as well, because it's so cheap.
Exactly. But yeah, we can go ahead and move on to the news from this week. We had New World change some of their endgame content, which made the fan base kind of, you know, get angry. And there's a lot of backlash about it because they made it harder, but like really hard. So essentially, you could kind of do some of the content solo. Some of the endgame content. Obviously, there are some things that really kind of require. There's like these events that kind of remind me of like Fates in 14, where it's like these big events you got to go in with a bunch of people. Or was it Garrisons in FF11, where it's like, you know, the Beastmen attack an area and you kind of run in? Was that what they were called?
Yeah, where they attack the outposts.
Yeah, in the past, in Wings of the Goddess. Right.
Oh, Wings of the Goddesses were campaigns.
Campaigns. Okay. Yeah. Where it's like, yeah, you go there and you like you fight all these invading, you know, beasts or what have you. So it's stuff that's kind of like that in this game. And obviously, yeah, that you kind of need more people to do that. But people are mad. It's like, well, you changed a lot of the endgame stuff that you could solo. So what's going on there? So they're kind of mad about that. They try to explain it some more, saying, you know, that, well, we kind of wanted to have a variety of areas the players can go to for certain things, and how their vision was to basically include a bunch of more difficult content from our focused engagements and whatnot. But it's just like, yeah, I don't know. So we'll see what happens if they end up tweaking that. But that was kind of with how much issues they've had with gold duplication and then this, it's like, and I feel like isn't one of the issues with the game is that your end game content isn't really that fleshed out. But now you're making that content that people are kind of get bored with fast harder. It just seems kind of weird.
They're having a rough time.
Yeah. And then moving on, the other thing that happened this week was that Epic Games acquired Rock Band developer Harmonix. So a lot of people, when I saw this, I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, because Harmonix has been kind of independent for a long time, pretty much their whole since they've been formed. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, Epic Games bought them. Oh, no, now you're going to have, what, music in Fortnite? Yeah, and I'm like, I'd kind of rather then be, if they were going to be acquired by Epic instead of, like, Tencent, even though Tencent does have, like, a 40% share of Epic, but Tim Sweeney has the bulk of it, so they can't really influence them the way they can with, like, you know, because they own, like, Clay Entertainment. Like, they bought, who makes Oxygen Not Included in Don't Starve? They got them in January of this year, and it's like, every time they keep gobbling up all these companies, it's like, all right, you know, I'd rather it be Epic than Tencent, but what have you. But yeah, so a lot of people were kind of concerned about that. But, you know, because I know they had a game that came out recently. It was like a card music fuser, that card music game. And it was an actual like board game where like you put these cards in this thing. It's supposed to be pretty fun. Ben Hansen from Minmax, formerly of Game Informer, has talked about it. Like he loves that game. As a board game. But obviously I don't think it's done that well. And had they come out with like their own Beat Saber before Beat Saber, I feel like that would have been done really well for them. But of course they didn't. But so I'm curious to see like
the Rock Band games and their games have always been like really well done or well made, just like too late. Almost with everything they've made is always like just a little bit too late.
Yeah. And Rock Band was such like this, it wasn't initially a flash in the pan because it lasted for a while, but it was one of those things. It was like, it was this short lived trend where it was like, you know, they made Guitar Hero and Guitar Hero 2. And it was like, it blew up the music rhythm genre. And it's like, it exploded. And then they of course had that split to when they did Rock Band because they broke off, and then I forget who became the primary developer for Guitar Hero 3. But that was tough because then you had, okay, we have this established name brand with Guitar Hero, and then you go and do Rock Band. So then when Guitar Hero 3 came out, I got to Guitar Hero 3 because I'm like, well, I liked 1 and 2. I want to play the third one because it's the same, you know, style. And then, of course, when they did Rock Band, it's like this full set. There's a bunch of stuff and, you know, just slightly different. So But you know, Rock Band did well for a while. You know, they had like all the different Rock Band, Beatles, Aerosmith, all that stuff. Like they had a huge music library. They collaborated with a lot of, you know, had a lot of crazy music in that franchise. But yeah, it feels like they just didn't, it didn't evolve fast enough or change enough for how quickly it ended up dropping off. Cause it was like, there was just the saturation of music rhythm game. Cause Guitar Hero kept doing like, oh, Guitar Hero, Aerosmith, you know, and it just, they, it was too much.
Surprised that they never tried to go the route of Rocksmith more, where Rocksmith, their big hook was that you could learn to play the guitar or bass because it worked by plugging in an actual guitar or like an actual instrument. And I played that and I actually thought it was pretty damn well done. It's the music equivalent of like those fitness games like Ring Fit for Switch, where it tries getting you to work out and like play an actual instrument more. And I was always surprised that Rock Band never went that route with trying to incorporate actual music learning as opposed to like all the peripherals they had.
Yeah, I'm really curious how well Rocksmith did, because it came out in the PS3 and 360 era, you know, in 2011. So it's like I'm wondering how many people played it then. They did do a remaster of it on PS4 in 2014, I believe. But yeah, I feel like had that been better, of course, that was Ubisoft, so maybe there wasn't, outside of just using a real guitar, maybe the music suite and everything they had wasn't quite as robust as something like a Rock Band. So it didn't really take off as much. But
I don't think it did super well, but I just saw potential with like Rock Band could have evolved into something like that where they allow you to play with, you know, the toy instruments or some mode where they allow you to play with a real instrument. And I don't know, it seemed like a way to differentiate itself from Guitar Hero, which was obviously more popular at the time, unless you were a drunk college student.
Yeah. Plus you had to have a, you know, a guitar. But all right, moving on. We have Halo Infinite. They apparently have a event. It's the Fractured Tenray event, and there's a lot of gated progression in it that has players like super frustrated. It's another thing that kind of goes against them after they've had their battle pass issue that just we talked about last episode. It just the progression method in it wasn't that all that great. And they said they're going to do some tweaks. And I think they did it either after that pod when we recorded that podcast, I think by the time it was already up, but we didn't have any details on what that change is going to be. But then they had this event pass, which was free to all players and had 30 tiers of rewards. But unlike the battle pass, you can only progress through the event by completing specific event challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, one of the issues, too, was that it couldn't be completed in the first week. And so it's like this weird event that's going to span, like, would have to span multiple weeks to do it. But it's also, like, it's the challenge swaps and the XP grants. Like, it's not all that great. And so I lost my train of thought because I got interrupted there, and of course it was edited out. But yeah, basically it's just they're having issues with this. I mean, it seems like
the most wrong way to do a battle pass.
Yeah, or even, you know, in events, it's like, yeah, both of them, it's like, come on, you gotta. And also people like post like the armor that you can unlock in the battle pass as well, and it's like it's just minor color swaps. I'm like, we've seen this with Fortnite. We've seen it with Apex. We've seen this game where these, you know, you get these palette swaps and it's like, you know, people are like, why? And yeah, obviously, yeah, sure. It's nice if it's just, if the palette swap is something that's part of the battle pass, maybe it's a color you like, that's great. But like the way they do the palette swaps in this, it's like such minor secondary colors that don't matter. It's like, what is going on? And then it's like all the armor pieces that you get, but it's just, yeah, this event thing, the gated progression on it for, is just not that great. So hopefully we'll see what happens if they end up changing it. But yeah, it's crazy how much of a mess it is right now for them outside of having a great, you know, multiplayer arena shooter. And then yeah, moving on to the last two things, they're both people leaving companies. So the first one we have is the creative director for Dragon Age 4 has left BioWare. This is senior creative director Matt Goldman. And he'd been the senior creative director on Dragon Age since 2017. So he's been there for quite a while. So it could be a situation where maybe like they're, you know, they mutually parted ways as well. It wasn't like, you know, they got rid of him or he just left because for whatever reasons. But they haven't established who's going to take his place yet. But I imagine after, you know, since 2017, like if you're pretty well underway and the team sees and shares that vision, they hopefully should be okay. I mean, I'm not a big Dragon Age person. You know, I played Inquisition, but yeah, I'm curious. You know, they say they're confident in their future roadmap, but I'm sure some people who are fans of Dragon Age could be a little worried.
It's always a little concerning when, like, the lead of anything leaves a project before the project is done. Like, maybe on the back end it's mostly done, and it's just kind of like the rest of the team is taking over because they get it. They know what needs to be done. They know what the direction they're going in, and they're kind of like, you know, autonomous and don't really need like a specific lead, and it's just little touches and stuff like that. But if it's nowhere near done, or if there's like internal problems and stuff like that, it's like, it is a little concerning that they're just up and leaving before this project has even gone gold.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the other, I guess, concerns they have is because, you know, back last December, the former GM, Casey Hudson, and then the Dragon Age executive producer, Mark Adara, both left the studio as well. So it's like, and then I guess in February, EA CEO Andrew Wilson tried to reassure investors, basically saying, no, I think that from the outside world, we have seen some blips in delivery over the last couple of years, but that has come as a result of them pushing deeply into innovation and creativity, and we feel very, very confident about their future roadmap. So we'll see how this turns out. Because, you know, Dragon Age is one of those franchises that everybody, it has a big fan base. I know Inquisition's kind of one of the lower tier of that, even though people did like that game. But yeah, I know they are excited for Dragon Age 4.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, then moving over to DICE, we saw the head of design, who was Fozzie Mesmer, left the company. But they'd only been the head of design since 2019. And previously, they were the studio director, production game design at Candy Crush, for Candy Crush at King Studio. So it's like you had this person who came from the mobile space, come on, who was your head of design for a first-person shooter. And when this got posted, everybody's like, yes, get them out of there. Like, no wonder that, like, why would you have someone who has no background in FPS games come and be your head of design for what's supposed to be a redemption for one of your longest-running franchises in Battlefield 2042? Because that has not had a good launch at all. They did release some patches or something, but it's like, yeah, what are you doing? Like, have you, and there's been some former DICE people who have said, like, one of the problems too is that they would bring up, like, you know, they would have, you know, these people design this stuff, but then they'd ask, like, do any of these designers, have they actually played the game? Like, have they played any of these things to talk about? And then the studio heads kind of push back, like, oh, well, hey, you know, we don't want to criticize anybody just because they're, you know, this, we don't hurt anybody's feelings just because they haven't played the game and their design stuff. It's like, I feel like, well, that should be part of the thing. Like, you design something.
Wait. The designers hadn't played their own game?
Yeah, it was kind of like,
how the fuck do you design a game without playing it yourself?
Yeah, oh, exactly. Almost like they just said, hey, that man made a lot of money. He can make us a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that was like, it. That was the end of the thought.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I have no
idea. I mean, I've never designed a game, but if you want credentials in terms of, like, microtransactions and bullshit like that, I feel like I've paid for enough of them to understand the concept and implement it. Hire me.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, and it's not even like they don't even have a storefront or anything. Like, there's nothing there. Like, none of that stuff you'd expect to be there microtransaction-wise is. And it's like, there's not even a battle pass. It's just everything else about the game just had some problems. Like, it was, the ideas are fine, but it's like you just didn't test them enough and try it out. And it's just like, what are you doing? And there's, it's, you know, I'm hoping they turn around because I was really looking forward to 2042. But yeah, it's, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And if they
can, it's not looking great.
Right. The ship. Yeah. It's
what actually happened with 2042? Because I haven't really been following it. I know it's been a shit show, but that's about it.
So on PC, it had a lot of performance problems. An issue was there was too much bloom on all the guns. So it made all the ARs like basically unusable because you couldn't hit anything. There's a lot of hit registration errors. Yeah. You couldn't get, there's a lot of, so it made like the only viable weapon, like this SMG, which was way overpowered. So it's like, if you aren't using that SMG, like it became like, this is the meta. That's an issue. Another issue is that there's only like two modes. There's the All Out Warfare, which is 128 player on PC and current gen. It's 64 on last gen. And then there's Breakthrough, which is kind of like Rush. And it's a little smaller, I think, in scope. And then, of course, you have the portal mode and the hazard zone, which is supposed to be pretty fun as well. But the All Out Warfare issue, it's like some of the maps are like, they're way too big for 128 players. It takes too long to get across the map. There's just a lot of glitches overall. People don't like the fact that they got rid of the class system that Battlefield's always been known for, having assault, engineer, recon, and support. And instead they did specialists, like every other game is doing nowadays. But you can change, like anybody can use any weapon. There's no gated thing across each of the specialists. It's like the only thing that's unique is like their passive ability and their main ability. You can consider it like their passive and their alt, even though it's not really an alt. But essentially call it that. And people don't like that. Like that was a huge diversion from the start for Battlefield. Because now it's like anybody can run anything. There's no, a lot of things that are standard were just missing from launch. There was no scoreboard. You could only see what your squad was doing. You couldn't bring,
there was no like overall team scoreboard.
Yep, nope. There was no scoreboard at launch.
It was messy.
Yeah, it was, there was a lot of problems. And like I said, PC was the worst defender. A lot of people, you know, falling through maps all the time in vehicles. A lot of vehicles are either super overpowered. The hovercraft has just had way too much armor. They patched it to make it to where it goes down quicker. There's just a lot of bugs. I don't want to get into every single thing, but just it didn't feel well, didn't play well, and didn't really feel that fun for a lot of people. Like at first it had promise when they did the initial early access week for people who pre-ordered, and I watched it and there were a lot of people who were having fun in those first couple of days and got me excited. But then eventually after a couple of days, people start seeing all the problems. Like, well, where's the scoreboard? Oh, it'll be there at launch. Then launch came, scoreboard's not there. And then a while later they patched in, but now it's only an end of round scoreboard and not in one for the middle of the game. Like it had always been there. And it's like, and then the spawn system, like the respawn system also became kind of a pain in the ass as well. Where it's like, it didn't work as like it did in all the other Battlefield games. And it was really hard to like pinpoint who you wanted to spawn on, if you want to spawn a teammate. So yeah, it's just got, it had some problems. They've done a lot of patches with weapons. Now the weapons play much better. And there's still a lot of people playing it. It's the eighth worst reviewed game on Steam right now because it just got review bombed, even though it's one of the highest played games on Steam. But it's like, I feel like that's because you have these people playing it to see if it gets fixed. And to, you know, you still have to have played people playing the game to report these problems. And the subreddit is just people saying, here's a problem, here's a problem, here's a problem. There was an issue where it was like, there's if you have this anti-tank rocket and just a rocket launcher in general, and you use it on this tank, it takes like four shots to take out the tank with this rocket. It's like, okay, whatever. But it takes like forever to reload the rocket launcher. But there's a sniper rifle that you can do like this high caliber round, which takes the thing out in four shots, but you do it extremely fast. So it's like, why is a sniper rifle like way faster at taking out this tank than the rocket launcher? What's going on there? So then I don't know if that's been patched yet or not. And then there's a thing where like, I won't get into it. There's just a lot of issues. Like it, when it works, it works, but it's still got problems.
It sounds like they tried to reinvent the wheel for no reason, which sometimes is good, but also if you're reinventing the wheel, you don't focus on the small things like removing the scoreboard. You focus on big things like gameplay design.
Yeah. And like the weapon balancing and stuff like that. It's like, why didn't you just fix all that?
It feels like,
to begin with,
it feels like it was rushed, but I know it wasn't rushed. Like, it feels like a game that was like, oh, they pushed it out to get it out for the holiday season, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah. And they even told their investors, like, we're ahead of schedule. Like,
no, you were not.
Point. It's like, yeah, no, clearly you're not, because look at all the problems. Yeah. It's definitely a situation where it's not the actual devs, like, it's leadership that is screwing this up.
Oh, and yeah.
It's like, it just sucks to see, because, like, Battlefield's always, I know a lot of people, some people didn't like one because, you know, went back to World One. I loved one. I thought Battlefield One was great. It's the most fun I'd had since Battlefield Three. And then I liked Five, but they did some, Five was like a game where they did some changes as well. Like, they did not a ton, but they did some minor changes as well, as far as like fortification system, stuff like that. But like, and then like the destructibility in 2042 is like hardly there. And like Battlefield's like known for destructibility, even though if you play the Portal, any of the Portal maps, like there's full on destructibility there. So clearly they just didn't build it into the maps they made for the game. And it's like, what are you doing? And then like the flying the vehicles is like not what it used to be in all the Battlefield games. So it's like, I really hope they get it balanced. I want to play it, but yeah, it's like, it's not in a good enough, like at least when Battlefield 4 launched, like there were some server issues, but that was like mainly it was just server problems. So it's like, I can play it, and when the server's working, still have fun, and then they fix it and it's good to go. But yeah, it's like, I don't want to play this, which is just like, you know, hit registry issues. And then
that's surprising from you, since you love the Battlefield games too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sucks. My cousin, he's like, hey, when are we going to play Battlefield? I'm like, well, not until they release a couple patches for it.
You know? When the game actually comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, we'll see. And like I said, at least the breakthrough is they need, like, I don't know why they got rid of modes like Rush, and just like, they have, people want just, hey, give us the, on the last gen consoles, you have a 64 player version of these maps. Let us be able to play those on the next gen, current gen consoles and PC. Like, don't make us only play these 128 player maps, because they're so wide open. It's like, if you don't have a vehicle, it's tough. And it's like, not all of them like that, but there are some maps that are definitely just, it's just too big. It's like, it's not fun to run across, but yeah, they just need to do some tweaks. So I know they have a roadmap for fixes, and as long as everybody keeps spamming that subreddit I'm subscribed to, it's like, hey, here's the problem. It's like, yeah, they'll, and they do reply, they are good at replying. Some of the devs in there are saying like, yes, we know about this, or, you know, yada yada, we're working on it, you know, this and that, or we're analyzing, trying to figure out what's causing this problem. So they're active, but yeah, we'll see if now that the Candy Crush person is gone, if someone else comes in and says, hey, let's start kind of doing like a 2042 2.0 or something. I don't know.
Let's make a Battlefield game and not a Candy Crush game. How about that?
But yeah, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, that's basically it for the news. Like I said, a lot of this week was just Black Friday deals galore. Apparently Walmart's supposed to have Xbox Series and PS5 consoles on Monday. So if you are trying to get one of those, go ahead and try out on that day. I know if you part of the Walmart Prime or whatever it is, like $12.95 for a month thing of their thing, it's like kind of like their version of Amazon Prime, I guess. Yeah. You get access to those deals earlier than everybody else. So you can do that. It's like everybody does that freaking thing. It's like, oh yeah, be a Prime member for a thing and get early access. It's like, is everybody gonna do this? But
it's streaming services, but for groceries, no.
Yeah. But yeah, speaking of PS5s, you got one ordered as well. Did you just have to, did you guys wait in a queue and get lucky, or?
We, funny enough, we did the Walmart thing, because we have the Walmart subscription for the grocery order.
Shitting on it. That's how you got it.
No, yeah, it's complete bullshit is what it is, because we pay like a yearly fee or whatever for free shipping for the groceries. And then they rolled that over into whatever their new Prime bullshit thing is, but we don't use it for that. We use it to buy groceries. But funny enough, it allowed us to buy a PS5. So that's what Michael did on Monday while I was at work.
Yeah, that's good. And then you said it's going to come in about the 9th of next month?
It should be. It said estimated delivery date was the 9th. And I think the last update we got was that they were preparing the shipment. The only thing was Michael's mom also got one for his brother. So we're not allowed to buy games for ourselves. She was like, no, you know, like, because, you know, everybody wants to, now that we have a console, everybody wants to buy games for each other. So we're buying games that we want, but for his brother. So I think they're going to buy the same thing.
Doing the same thing. Okay. So what games are you buying for your brother then?
So we're getting him
for his brother.
We're going to get it Miles Morales. And I think we're also going to get Demon Souls for him.
Nice.
And so I don't
is this him with an air quotes for quote unquote him.
Well, Michael was saying, well, if we buy Demon Souls for him, we can just open it and play it, and then when it's time to give it to him, we could just wrap it back up. I was like, no. So I
he's not wrong, just get it wrapped. Done.
I think we're gonna get the PlayStation 5 and it's just gonna get wrapped and put under the tree because we're not gonna have anything to play on it. And I was like, maybe
that is torture.
Isn't it? I thought, maybe I'll buy the Yakuza games and then I'll play those on the PS5, even though I could play those on the PS4, but they're on Game Pass, so I would just play them on the PC anyway. So I was like, well,
are there, I mean, there's got to be games that like they wouldn't think of buying for you that you could buy now just to play. Like, obviously, Demon's Souls is probably super up both of your alleys, but like, I mean, PS5 has other games you could get that are like less common.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, the only game I want to play on it right now is Demon's Souls. So,
yeah.
I mean, because I told him too, I was like, well, they you have get that
Deathloop.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in Deathloop though, like personally. And like, I floated Returnal because I was like, well, maybe that's a game that you would really like, and I would like to watch it, but it's not necessarily something I would like to play above other things that I have to play right now. The other problem is it's coming out right after Endwalker comes out, and I'm unsure if I'm going to binge all of Endwalker the weekend of early access, or if I'm even going to be able to if the servers are stable, or if we're still going to be playing it when the PlayStation comes. So
yeah, that's the rough situation.
So yeah, it might just get wrapped up and put under the tree. We'd be like, there's our PS5. It's just waiting.
But you got Astrobot, man.
Oh, he's yeah, I could play Astrobot. I did want to play Astrobot. It looks
Astrobot actually was really fun too. It's like that's a 5-hour experience that's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was really funny. We were like, oh, we finally got a PS5. And then we're like, well, we can't buy games for ourselves because somebody, once we told family members that we were getting a PS5, they probably went on and bought the games already for us. So those are probably all the way. And also Endwalker's coming out. And also I'm deep into Yakuza hell now. So after I'm done with Endwalker, I will probably play the Yakuza games. So, oh well.
Well, you can always play it because then any PS4 game you're playing will run better. You know, you can replay Tealu 2 or...
I want to replay God of War before the new one comes out, at least. Yeah, and yeah, I floated Death Stranding too because there's that, what is it, like the director's cut or whatever edition. Yeah. I floated that too because Michael actually finished that game and he had a lot of fun with that. So
yeah, I think
there's that option as well.
Too. I think it's $10 if you own the game, you get the director's. And it's like that ultra wide mode, man. And it's like it and ultra wide is at 60 at like the highest resolution. So it's like it looks so good.
I mean, yeah, it would be a good chill game to play. And yeah, that was my thought too, is having the PS5. I just want to play God of War again, honestly. And maybe Horizon, just like through the main story of Horizon. Because it'll be very nice to play it without loading screens.
This is true. Yeah, get all that stuff faster. It's like, you might as well set it up.
Loading screens, and isn't the PS5 version 60 frames per second? I feel like they updated the FPS.
It has like a updated version or whatever, or a patch or whatever. Yeah, that'd be fine.
I thought Horizon had the updated patch that increased it to 60 FPS, because I remember playing it. And then JCM, like a week later, was like, oh, you finished it? You should have just waited another week because now the 60 FPS patch is out. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, cool. But I'm not. Frame rate is such like a secondary, third kind of thing for me. It's like I don't really care about the difference between like 30 or 40 FPS and 60 FPS. Like, sure, it looks nice and smooth and pretty. But if that comes at the cost of like loading screens being longer, I don't care. So if I can just teleport instantly, or if I can just load a game instantly or reload because I did something stupid and died in a stupid way, if I don't have to wait 30 seconds and sit with that shame and just automatically get back into the game, that's what I prefer. The ultimate test is going to be, I'm going to put Final Fantasy 15 in it and see if it gets rid of those loading screens, because those are abysmal loading screens.
Yeah, that's true. You got to get the... Yeah, I think that 15 does benefit a lot from the loads. I remember that was one of those games they tested out back when the mm-hmm. consoles first came out from Digital Foundry. Because like some games would be like, because it was designed for the older hardware, it's like you can't initially get as big of a increase as you'd hope. But
just the SSD on its own, because there's a significant difference between a standard hard drive and an SSD and a PS4 between the loading screens on 15. And if it gives me an excuse to play 100% Royal Edition again, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. Because even something like going from like a 60 to 70 second to like a 30 second, like that's still a big jump, even if 30 seconds can still feel like a long time.
Mm-hmm. And I might even finish Comrades too, because I stopped playing that because the loading screens sucked. They were almost as long as the actual missions. So I might finish that story as well.
Yep. But that'll be a good time. Just the wait. I want to play Demon's Souls.
That's pretty much it. It's like, oh, well, we'll get the PS5. And I was like, oh, we'll go on now that we have the PS5 because there's a ton of sales right now. And then, like, get some games. We'll get Demon's Souls and, you know, some other things. And then he got a text from his mom that was like, don't buy games for yourself. You're like, shit.
Yeah, that's okay. That's why you got to do the family
thing. That really is torture.
You make a list.
I'm going to have to get my Demon Souls character out to troll you guys when you start.
No good.
Okay. And his brother knows what games we want because it's the same games he wants. So I can almost guarantee we're just going to give each other the same games and be like, cool, now we're going to go home and play them.
Yeah.
So that's fine. It's on its way. At least we have it and it's the correct edition. I made sure we got the disc one because I want physical media.
That's right.
And yeah, at least it's on its way now.
Exactly. It'll be here eventually. So aside from that, wait, what have you been playing?
Not much really. Because I was watching a playthrough of Yakuza 0. That was like my main time sink, and also finishing up watching somebody play Fatal Frame 5. So that was kind of like my main time sinks while I was doing stuff on Animal Crossing or doing runs on 14, because I don't know what possessed me to do it, but I started leveling Astrologian. So while I was doing that, I was watching stuff in the background. But then, of course, usually about halfway through a Yakuza game, the story turns into, you need to pay attention to this. And so I would just sit there and watch it for hours.
Yeah. What about you? What are you playing?
I've still just been going through the Borderlands DLC. And then I picked up Outriders again since they released that New Horizon patch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I kind of wanted to see what it was like, and I've only played it for a few hours so far. I still think that game just feels great. I just hope that I can't tell yet if they fixed all of the issues with it, but my initial impressions with the patch is it seems like a step in the right direction. I'm glad it was free, and it feels a bit like when No Man's Sky started patching in more content and kind of fixing up their game. So I'm hopeful. We'll see how it actually turns out, though.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it last week, but yeah, because they added 4 more expeditions, and they also got rid of the time requirements for exotics on the expeditions as well, which I thought was great, because then you don't have to, you know, you're not grinding, or you don't have to play a specific meta necessarily to...
Yeah, the meta was always do it as fast as humanly possible, and only one build would let you do that. And then on the other hand, they'd be like, oh, but we want you to play any way you want. And it's like, well, I can't be a sniper and slowly pick my way through if this is the only way to do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was something they said in their post. It was like, yeah, we realized, hey, this method isn't really indicative of play your way. So yeah, they got rid of it, which I thought was great. And then they did announce that there's going to be some more content coming later, I think next year, some additional content. So that'll be interesting to see. Yeah, because I saw that thing, I was like, oh, you know, I could hop back in, but if it's just, I was like, oh, I never did. Even though I never did play that final Eye of the Storm one, I don't know if there's necessarily a story aspect. It seemed like in the trailer for New Horizon that there was some story aspect to some expeditions. So I'm like, I'm curious, because that might tease what's maybe going to happen in the extra content that's going to come out. But
Eye of the Storm did have story stuff that I could try to explain, but I would butcher it since it's been so long.
Yeah, you don't need to, don't worry.
But yeah, Eye of the Storm was like the actual final end to the story, but I remember playing it and I didn't beat it. I played it once and was like, I don't know if I really care enough about this game to put in the time to beat this. Like, mm-hmm. And all it required at the time was like, get two other people that were decently geared and good. And I was like, I don't care enough to actually try and do this. So yeah, I don't know what the extra content will be, but the game feels better. And I definitely thought that that was one of the surprise PS5 games, because when I enjoyed it, I really enjoyed it. And I loved running through the story in that game.
Yeah.
I just hated the end game. The story was phenomenal and the campaign was amazing and so much fun. And then you get to the end game and it got old quick.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see where they go with future content, but yeah, I could say that's something like maybe if they hop back in right before the future release and doing some more expeditions, getting, especially if I have to level myself up and gear wise and grind out some stuff, but yeah, we'll see. Yeah, for me, I forgot last week, you know, I was trying to remember last episode, like, what have I been playing? I couldn't think of anything. I forgot that I played the Voss DLC for Far Cry 6 because I beat it like that night. And yeah, I played
that one. You play as Voss in the game?
Yeah, you play as Voss in that game. That's what all the DLCs are going to be. It's going to be Voss, Pagan Man, and Joseph Seed once they each come out. I think Pagan Man comes out in December, maybe, or January. And then Joseph Seed, I think, is in March. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing each of those. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I didn't realize it was a roguelike at first. Like, I was just playing it. And I should have known, like, yeah, this is clearly a roguelike, but it's like, because then I died, and it's like, oh, you start with a pistol, and there's like a store where you can upgrade yourself by getting money from looting chests and killing enemies and whatnot. And then, yeah, when you die, all the money you acquired is gone, but any of the guns, weapons that you unlocked is there. I'm like, oh, so they have these mechanics like, oh, every time you die, you keep $500 worth of your stuff, or $500. And you can upgrade to be like, oh, if you die, you still keep 1,000. You keep 1,500. You keep 2,000. Which I never did, because I didn't die again after that. Like, I just died the one time because I was goofing off. I did, like, there was a challenge, and it was like a 5 red bars, and I'm like, I guess that means it's super hard, but I couldn't tell. And I was messing around, and I died, and that's what I realized. Because then when you die, like, and it, I kind of wish I did die more, because Voss did respond to it kind of like in this way that Celine does in Returnal. Where it's like, it seemed like there could be some fun dialogue if I do die a couple times, but I only died the once. So I'm like, okay, that's it. But yeah, it's fun. Like, you go back and you see a bunch of stuff play out from a different perspective. You hear dialogue bits from, you kind of learn more about him and his relationship with his sister Citra. Cause that was kind of a small, like, you find out about that in the main game anyways. But yeah, you can find out more stuff about him. And it was really fun just to hear him, you know, Michael Mando talking again as Voss, and then just seeing some scenes play out again, but seeing them from a different angle. There was, like I said, it was fun. The map was pretty big. There was a lot of some fun little missions on it, but yeah, it didn't last. It wasn't too long. Like I said, I beat it in one night. There was a fun bit where, like, you're in this hotel through, like, this, you know, this whole trippy sequence, and you keep opening up these rooms, and every time you do it, it plays out this memory that Voss had. You kind of like watch it almost looks essentially like a hologram, but you're essentially watching, like, this Voss saying something. Either it's about his sister, about just himself in general, his mental health or what have you, like, talking about something. But he's going through this hallway, and he's like, and he has, it's like a PT Easter egg, because he's like, And he goes, man, he's like, these hallways, it's like that trailer for that game with the hallway. Whatever happened to that? And then it was just, it was funny. I was like, oh, nice little PT Easter egg. Cause you just keep looping through this hallway, open up these different rooms and whatnot.
Is the DLC supposed to make you like sympathize with Voss, or is he still just like a, you know, evil antagonist? And I guess second question, is the DLC actually like happening, or does Far Cry give some bullshit explanation like you took a drug and you're imagining what it was like to be Voss, or are you actually him?
You're actually him, but and it's not necessarily, it's not trying to like paint him, like sympathize with him. It's more like fleshing out his character. Cause while yes, he is a bad, he's like, it's Wreck-It Ralph. He's a bad guy, but he's not bad just to be bad. Like there's a reason why he became the way he did. So it's kind of looking at that, like the manipulation from his sister. Cause essentially when they were his sister's big, I forget the name of their tribe on the island. But she like believes a lot in this, the legend that the tribe has about some great warrior coming and leading the Rakyat to, leading them to, I think, take back their island or something like that, you know, cause obviously some other people came in, you know, you have Hoyt and what have you. But so she'd been raising up her brother to be this great warrior. But he didn't realize that he was just being manipulated the whole time with her. And like, but he, when he realized that later, like he ends up leaving. That's why when Jason Brody comes in, it's the same thing. Now she's she's bringing him in and trying to train him to be this great warrior. And then in Voss says him, like, you know, you and me are a lot alike and stuff like that. And he questions, like, in Far Cry 3, you know, he asks, like, hey, where'd you get that ink from? Because you get all these tattoos, which is the Tatao, which is like the mystical portion of the Rakyat that they add on. You kind of gives you that's how you unlock, every time you unlock a new skill point or a ability, it kind of tattoos a new bit of the Tatao onto his arm. And like Voss, I was like, where'd you get that ink? Did my sister give that to you? Like, and he, that kind of drives him a little crazy. Like now his, while he hates his sister, he's kind of jealous that now she's found someone else to take his place kind of situation, at least in the base game. And this is just kind of like looking at the mental state of someone who's been manipulated and mentally abused, kind of, you know, cause that was always kind of how Voss was as well. Like even in the main campaign. And he's like, the world is on a diagonal and I'm the balancing point. That's one of the lines he always says. He said it in 3 as well, but he says it again in this one. But yeah, it's more like just fleshing out the character. Like he's not just a paint by numbers villain in Far Cry 3. He never was. Like Hoyt is more of that, kind of, cause Hoyt's actually the bad guy of 3. Voss was never meant to be like a main character in the game anyways. It was just after the E3 trailer. They're like, okay, people love this character. Let's design him more, because they even updated his design to be more like Michael Mando, and let's give him more stuff. That's why he's only in half of that game. But no, it was really good. I liked it. It was a lot of fun. I'm curious if that means all the other DLCs are going to be, you know, roguelikes as well. I'd imagine they are. That's fine, because I was playing on hard and it was fine getting through. Just make sure you have the guns and whatnot you need to get through certain areas. But yeah, it was fun playing through that. But yeah, outside of that, I've just been playing a lot of Auction Not Included. I did, you know, last episode, my computer got delivered in the middle of the episode. I did set that up, and boy, that was a time trying to get the controller. So I ran, like, there's this, you know, this is Windows 11 thing from GitHub. You run to, like, just clean out the computer. Like, mm-hmm. Get rid of all the crap you don't need. So I ran that. And then I installed Steam, and I installed Ubisoft, Kinect, I think they call it, their storefront. And Primal was on sale, because I looked on Primal on Steam, because I was just going to get it there. But it was, like, you know, full price, I think $30. But on Ubisoft Connect, it was, like, you know, a couple bucks. I was like, all right, I'll buy it on here, because I want to replay this game on PC. And I was like, all right, let's plug in the controller. Boot it up, and it's like, oh, unrecognized gamepad. I was like, okay. So how do I get this to work?
It starts.
Yeah, and I'm like, all right. And I'm like, if I had an Xbox controller, it would have been fine. So then I look, I'm like, okay, you download the DS4 for PC or whatever. So I download that, Installed the other thing that it needs to have installed. And then that was a whole thing. And then I get that plugged in and set up. And I'm using the PS4 controller. I think I can also do a PS5 controller as well. I think it works for both, but I was just using the PS4 controller at first. But then when I get that all finished and set up, I boot up Far Cry Primal and I start using the controller and the game just switches over to the icons for the thing. And I'm like, is the game doing the icons or is the DS4 controller program? Because that has to be open and when you play games with the controller, with the DualShock 4. I'm like, or is that replacing all these things with the icons? I'm like, because it's like everything in the menu, all the stuff on in Primal, it's like, it's there, all the button icons. I'm like, I feel like that's the game and not this application. And I'm like, it was annoying me. I'm like, you have it there, like what the UI looks like you're flipping between it. Like if I move the keyboard, it jumps back to PC buttons. And once I tap the controller, it switches to the PlayStation icons. And I'm like, okay, so if they're baked in, why didn't you recognize this controller from the start? But not that running the DualShock program from the start is initially a big issue. Plus, because it's mimicking the mouse movements, that's the only thing I don't like, is that I had to increase the dead zone a bit because it did feel, it feels weird, like I'm moving a mouse and not a controller, like the smoothness. So I adjust the dead zones. But I replayed up some of Primal. I put it on survival and hardcore mode, or survival is the hardcore mode. And so it's like there was way too much animal population in the base game. So it kind of trims that back a bit in that mode. And then also nighttime becomes way more dangerous. Your stamina doesn't replenish unless you go to sleep or you eat some food. So every time you attack, your stamina depletes a little bit. When you sprint, it depletes, but very slowly, so that you're not impacted by it. It's mainly the attacking. So if you're going to go attack some outpost, you better make sure that you're well-rested. Because while eating does replenish some stamina, you can only eat food if your health is damaged. And I didn't realize another thing it does, too, is that survival mode also gets rid of some of the perks that are a little unrealistic. So it makes the game a little more, has more realism. You know, because I talked about this when a couple episodes back on what they can do to fix, like change for Far Cry 7. And like I said, make it more like the forest and behind enemy lines and make it more survival. Because they had already done some of that in Primal. And it was just a lot of fun. It's like you can only get so many health upgrades now. A lot of the perks they had for the owl, which I totally forgot about the owl until I got him. I was like, oh yeah, this is, because this came out in 2016 and Assassin's Creed Origins came out in 2017 and that had the bird. And I'm like,
precursor,
this bird
to the bird.
Yeah. It's like, this is like, I'm curious if, did they take it? Because obviously the dev time on Far Cry Primal was super fast because they used the same map from Far Cry 4. They just changed it to, from being in the mountains in the Himalayas to being the redwoods, which is another reason I love Primal, because any game that has redwood trees as the setting, I love redwood trees. And like, that's why I liked Far Cry 5. Cause like Montana, it's like just all these redwoods everywhere. It's just, I grew up around redwood trees. So just seeing them is a lot of fun. And that's why I like, even though I don't know if the redwoods in the forest, but they might as well be like a type of redwood. But yeah, it's like, I just love that setting. But getting the owl, it's like, oh, it's the precursor. I wonder if they took it from Assassin's Creed when it was in development, or if Assassin's Creed borrowed it from them. Like, or it was just an at the same time thing. Like, hey, we have an idea for this. We're getting rid of eagle vision, and it's someone put an actual eagle.
where did the idea originate, and how did they, or it was like a test for what they were implementing in Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, like, hey, we have this idea. Throw it in your game. And then because you can do beast mastery in primals, like you can tame wild animals, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of fun playing on this survival mode. I'm doing it just on survival normal because it's been a while since I played. But it's just a lot of fun because now I hit permadeath on. I did turn on a second chance permadeath. And the way that works is like if you make enough progress between when you load the game to when you die, it'll give you a second chance. So if I just run around and goof off and don't do any progression and die, then it's permadeath. It's gone. But if I make enough progress, it's like, okay, you get a second chance. But then, which I like that idea, because it's like, that is the one thing about permadeath is like, I'm all about it. But like, if I sit down and do like a long session in one day and then die, that would bug me, versus being like, if I have a long running session that lasts for weeks and I die within like, a half hour from starting a new session, I'm like, yeah, okay, I lost. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm playing some of that, and I can hook it up to my TV, so I was doing that. But there's like this quirk with the Lenovo Legion 5 Pro right now where I set it to where when I close the lid, it stays on, because by default it goes to sleep. So I made it, okay, close the lid, it stays on. That way I have it on my TV, the lid's closed, I get more power because I'm using external, I'm not using the screen, whatever, better mm-hmm. performance. But then when I open the lid, there's an issue right now where now it just reboots the computer. And I'm like, what? Oh. I was like, what is happening here? And I looked up on the forums and tried to figure out what the hell's going on. So I was like, yeah, it's some bug. Like I went in the BIOS and tried to see if it was there. It's like, nah, it's just some glitch right now. I'm like, ah, PC gaming. Dang it.
Welcome. But,
yeah. And then, but yeah, I haven't gone back yet. I want to get like a laptop stand, like one of those ones that kind of puts that at an angle.
Mm-hmm.
And then just so I could set it up on either on my desk on the table in front of me or like in the shelving unit. Cause I have like my PS3, I have a PS3 in there for some reason. I think cause the kid was playing a game. I was playing like the old Little Big Planets on there one time. And I have my 4K Blu-ray player, which I don't need anymore cause I have a PS5. So I could put it in there and then just hook up an HDMI to the TV. That way when we use it, I just have it put away, but yeah, we'll see what's going on there. But yeah, playing some of that, like I said, I gotta play some more. And then yeah, just a ton of Auction Not Included, like just playing a bunch of that. Cause I'm like, I've never finished a round of that. Like I finished RimWorld multiple times, in that game. Like I have it down. I know they made some changes recently, which I want to go in and try out. They had some new DLC and stuff like that, but I've never actually finished a round of Auction Not Included. So it's like, okay, I want to play some Oni and then actually finish it. But I'm getting to that point now where I'm like, I got to get past that mid-game hump where I'm like, mm-hmm. I have a lockdown. I've got a food source. I don't have to worry about the heat because I'm only playing on like the relaxed mode, not the normal mode, because I still want to kind of learn the process of what I need to do. And I kind of got like the first couple turns down, like, okay, get research, get power, get this, yada, yada, just start digging. But now I need to know like, okay, well now what's next? I need to practice setting up, you know, the better power tech you get, like the more byproducts it causes that you have to deal with. So I'm like, I need to learn how to do all this stuff.
Even on the relaxed mode, you've never finished a round?
No, because they can take a while.
Is the game actually that difficult? I've never played it. I mean, I've seen the streamers play it and everything, but obviously the perception of like a streamer playing it is a little skewed. So is the game actually like that difficult, or is it just that it takes a while?
It's not, I wouldn't say it's that difficult. Like getting through those first couple steps is easy. It's that the, unlike RimWorld or I never played through all of Don't Starve, so I don't know the, because it's the same company. I don't know the progression through there. But like if I watch someone, like I'll watch someone do some YouTube videos like getting through that mid game hump, but he's like, all right, and then he would do is this, and like he does it, but he's like, he knows it, like it's his game, he knows the game essentially, so all the quirks, all this, he knows all the setups, how to do the liquid locks, how to do the power things, to ranching the setup base, setting up the base properly, like, all this stuff, and like he just runs through it. I'm like, okay, that's great, but I haven't done it yet, so I gotta, it's making sure I don't screw something up where like I don't want to, like things can go wrong, like I've had stuff go wrong in old games where like you kind of have, it's a game where you kind of have to, you can learn how to do a small thing, like, you know, set up a ranching area, set up a closed loop carbon skimmer. Like I know how to do that. A closed loop bathroom, I can do that. But it's like, well, the closed loop bathroom generates more polluted water because of all the waste from the duplicates. So you have water going in, but you have more water coming out. So now you have to store that somewhere, so you can't quite loop it. And where are you going to put that extra water? And then it's like, okay, there's that. And then also just dealing with the heat. And because there's a lot of physics in the game. It's way more of a sim than RimWorld and stuff like that. So like there's gas simulations going on. So, you know, there's different densities and weights to oxygen, to carbon, to hydrogen, to chlorine, to everything, like all this stuff. the heat, there's heat dispersal through pipes. So if you use the wrong material for a thing, it gets too hot, it's going to melt, malfunction. You got to monitor your power grid. So there's a lot there that's easy to pick up on in the first couple turns. Like, I can get going the first 10 turns. I'm fine. I can set up, like I said, where I'm at right now, I can essentially run on for a long time. I have a lot of algae, which I need for these oxygen generators. I have tons of clean water. I have plenty of food. I'm good. But it's like, now I need to go from that next step of securing my base and insulating it from the heat that will eventually end up showing up and expanding. Like, okay, how do I expand now? I need to clear, I know how to clear out the swamp biomes because that has a lot of like a disease they call slime lung, and how to deal with that and the polluted water in those biomes. I know how to clear those out from the old method. It still works, just requires a little more power now. But then it's like, okay, well, now I got to get exosuits so I can go into the high temperature dangerous zones with my people. I've never got the crude oil before. I've never tamed a geyser. I've never done stuff like, I've never actually finished a game. So there's like, I've got to the mid game, and either something went horribly wrong the first time. Like, I think one of my mid game ones, the heat became a problem, and I was like, damn it. And I had one where it's like something went wrong where I polluted my water source, and I was like, no. So the reason I play on, like, the only difference between the take it easy and the normal mode is that the duplicates don't get, everything's the same, the process, the speed at which you can do it, all it. The only difference is that if something goes wrong, the impact of that going wrong isn't as bad. So the duplicates don't get as stressed as they normally would. So right now I have like zero stress. But if I was playing on normal, which I had before, when they clean out like the slime biome, like if they breathe in polluted oxygen, it's not, they don't get sick, but they get stressed by it. And so if I'm cleaning out a swamp biome and they're breathing in polluted oxygen the whole time and getting sopping wet, they don't like that. They can get stressed out and they'd be like, okay, that can go, and you have to manage your stress. If they get overstressed, like in RimWorld, they can go on, there's a negative effect of that. Like in RimWorld, they go on a rampage. Like, same. I've had that happen where, like, you know, Zaya's gone on a rampage. And I'm like, look, and she's just, I'm like, get her. And then, like, someone has to go and, like,
sitting there, what's new?
That is absolutely appropriate.
You have to, like, beat them up or take them down, wrangle them, and then put them in the hospital to make them heal. Or there's some people that when they
checks
break,
out.
They binge yep. eat. And, like, they're eating all the food.
Same.
Pyromaniacs are the worst because then they just start setting your base on fire. Like, stop it. I'm going to have to shoot you.
Same again.
Yeah. So it's like,
I relate to these characters.
But yeah, it's I do love, like I said, I really like Oxygen Not Included. It's just, yeah, it's getting to that. It's kind of like a lot of games, like Civ and everything. It's like, you can get the early games easy, but it's like, okay, now you got to get through that middle game. And while I don't have anything like in RimWorld, you have people like, you have raids that come and attack you. It's a little easier in RimWorld to handle that stuff because, like, the crazy beavers. Oh, the beavers are showing up. The man-eating beavers. Okay, well, just stay inside, everybody. I have a fence already around my base. I'm okay. But, you know, the robots, the killer robots show up. It's like, oh, I got plenty of guns. I'm good. But, yeah, in Oni, it's like, it's just making that jump from what I need to do tech-wise in the early game over to the mid-game. It's like, okay, I have, everything's fine. Now I just need to find the new renewable energy source, find a way to cool my base because I'm going to have to do that eventually, and it's just, there's way more physics involved, and so it's just learning some of that is but like, it's just a lot of fun. I really like Oni. I feel like it could work on PS5. Like, I think it's that people say it can't work because there's too many button shortcuts. I'm like, if Civ can work and there's plenty in that, you can do it. If you can do Don't Starve, you can do it. Like, yeah, sure, there's a lot of button prompts. I hardly use them, like the keyboard shortcuts. Like, I click on all the icons. Like, you could do it. It's the physics sim that I could see being the problem. Then it's like, you know, your base gets too big and you zoom out and you've got all the liquid simulation, the gas simulations going on. I can see it being like, okay, chugging on your console. Because I mean, even Civ, like, because Civ on like the Switch, like, yeah, you, once you start to reveal the majority of the map and you clear the shroud, it's like, yeah, when you zoom out and you're trying to pan across the giant world map, if you got a lot of players, that thing will chug a bit. But yeah, so I can, I wish it would be on console. But yeah, I do love playing that game. So that's,
it does seem like it has a similar kind of progression to as like Don't Starve, because the single player for Don't Starve is your goal is to get to these gates and activate them and get to the next level. And then when you get to the next level, you basically start over. So it's kind of like you can set up a base, and it works for multiplayer too. Multiplayer has just a different type of progression, but you can get to the point where your base is like completely sustainable. You're not really worried about cold or heat or even like dog attacks or anything like that. But if you go out into the world and explore for the next like upgrade or the next part of progression and you're not prepared for that, it can go to shit real quick.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's got a similar kind of like progression vibe to it, where it's like, if you do it enough in the early game, it's very easy to get set up to that point. But the difficult part is progressing past that comfort zone, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's a lot like RimWorld. Like the base game of Oni is like, you got it. You want to get off the rock. So you got to build a spaceship just like in RimWorld. It's just in RimWorld, it's much easier because you just research, have a food source, and then just make sure everybody's good. And then you make sure you get weapons, you get stuff to trade. Maybe you, it's like, it's pretty easy to sustain yourself. I, like I said, I think they changed some of that in new patches to make it a little more difficult. But I know they added like ore mining at one point, which was really cool because that was an issue you can have in certain maps where you didn't have enough ore. That's why I was always like the mountainous maps in that game. Yeah, this is like, yeah, I could stay like this, but the goal is to get off the rock.
Yeah.
And then they added a spaced out DLC, which I haven't played yet. And that's like, you could build a rocket. And instead, what you can do is you can expand your base to all these other, like there's a space map, and you can like see all these other planets around you, and you can like, you can expand to them. I don't know what the goal there is, like if the goal you're looking for something, but yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I really like
do you always go into games like this blind? Because I feel like you love these types of games, so it seems like you would watch them on Twitch or something, but I feel like you also historically always figure the games out for yourself.
No, for this one, I saw someone play it, so I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. And I was like, and usually when it was only on PC and I hadn't played before, I was like, oh, I want to play this. I'm like, okay, well, I kind of want to look up because I knew it's that kind of game where it's like, you learn from your mistakes, you learn by doing, which is great. I like that. You know, I'm always like, okay, I kind of want some tips. So I usually look up like, you know, beginner tips for RimWorld, beginner tips for Oni, and just at least get, cause I don't want to waste my time really like, oh, I screwed myself because I didn't do X, Y, Z. Like I could just save myself a headache in 10 turns. You know, in 10 cycles, if I just did this. So I kind of watch it. And it's like, it's all basic. And again, beginner tips are usually basic stuff. It's usually later on, I'm like, okay, I got this, but what do I do next? Like, again, because in Oni, there's a lot more involved than in RimWorld. RimWorld, I did just kind of look at the beginner. I think I watched like a beginner tip. And plus, I watched someone play. So I kind of just like, okay, this is what they did. Like, I heard about RimWorld from, oh my gosh, what's that podcast by the guys who did, they work with Valve now, Campo Santo, they had a podcast, Idle Thumbs. I heard it on the Idle Thumbs podcast a while back. Like someone was telling the story of RimWorld. I'm like, this sounds hilarious. I want to see this game. So I looked it up and I'm like, they had a Mac version. So that's why I played it. And then I saw I looked up a Let's Play, just because I wanted to watch some videos of someone playing it. And that's how I discovered Northern Lion and Dan Giesling, because they had Let's Plays, and then that was before PUBG. So then when PUBG came out, they were doing a bunch of PUBG videos, which I didn't watch initially. And then I started watching later on when they got like 100 of those under their belt. And then I discovered the NLSS. So it's like, it was nice listening to Idle Thumbs to lead me to discover this Twitch group that I watch regularly now. Yeah. So it was fun. But yeah, that you usually do the beginner tips. But yeah, later on for Oni, like it's definitely helpful to be like, I have to do this. What's a good way to do it? You know, like I said, the closed loop carbon skimmer, like you could have learned that on your own. Like there's, it sucks because on the PC version, like there is a way to do a sandbox mode where like you can just build. So if you're curious, like, I wonder if I can do this, you could just build it in creative essentially and see if it works.
And test it.
Yeah, but that functionality isn't there in the Mac version, so I can't do that. Oh. And I'm like, which is weird. Yeah, I was weird. Like, it's not there. Because I like, that's how a lot of people who are these, you know, YouTubers and stuff who make these tutorial videos, like, they just try stuff out. Like, they think, like, I bet I could build, this kind of generator or do this thing this way. Is it feasible? And so they, you can choose the different rock materials you want to do. You can set up and be like, this works. Now I can implement this in my actual game when I play it. So then they'll play like, obviously they'll play hard mode or like the hard maps or something. And then they'll be like, they know that, hey, this crazy idea I had, while maybe impractical, it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can iterate on it. So it's like they can invent these. And it's funny because that's kind of, there's some things in that game where it's like, once you figure out a good way to do something, that's kind of like, that's the way you do it, which still works from back in 2018, still works now. It's like the way you clean out those swamp biome is, everybody still does it the same way. It's like there's just minor changes where this one equipment you use has to be powered. It only takes five volts now. So it's like, you're good there. So it's not going to chew up your power grid. But it's definitely a lot of fun. I really like that game. By no means a master yet, because again, I haven't beat it. But once I finish one full game of it, then I can put it on normal and worry about the stress factor of my duplicates. Mm-hmm. And be like, all right. I mean, that's kind of how I did RimWorld. I played it on one below normal because I wanted to practice, and then I played it on normal, and then I played it on the harder difficulties. And it's like, yeah, then you're managing. You have harder stuff getting thrown at you, mm-hmm. and yada yada. But once you have the basics, like, that's kind of, I want to learn the basics, and I only know the beginning basics. I don't know the mid game and the end game basics. So
yeah,
I need to learn that. But yeah, it's a great game. I'd definitely say play it if you've never played it before. I wish it had, it'd be fun if it had like a co-op thing. Like you could, I don't know, both be on asteroids and you're trying to connect to each other or something like that. Like that'd be interesting. But yeah, it'd be a fun game like to play, you know, just at the same time. Cause that mm-hmm. I started playing, you know, I was like, you know what? I bought Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. I only played it a bit. I went up to the point to where you can go to the Iki Island, but I didn't actually do it. I just played a bit. I'm like, oh, I got used to the combat. It's been a while. I haven't gone back to it. And then I downloaded the PS5 version of Subnautica, which is funny. Cause I forgot the PS4 version is like 13 gigs and the PS5 version is like 3 or 4 gigs. It's like super small. Cause the compression, I was like, oh, that's right. I watched like some interview with Mark Cerny and he pointed that out. And I was like, I forgot how small it got. But I started playing that in survival. Cause I'm like,
you just reminded me, I need to finish Subnautica Below Zero still. I got distracted by base building again.
Go finish Subnautica. Yeah. I started playing the regular Subnautica. I was like, I'm gonna put it on survival just like I have in Far Cry. I'm like essentially playing two games on survival mode right now. Kind of, you know, just the music. I love the music in Subnautica, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just so, it's so nice playing that game. And then, yeah, just the higher FPS and going around digging for stuff. And yeah, it's just a fun time. That, again, that's another game where it'd be like, it'd be fun to like, if you and I, is like, we both started survival games and did screen share and just played them at the same time to see how far we get and be like, oh no, someone made a mistake and then you died.
That's how we used to play Don't Starve before they added multiplayer, is we would just start a new world at the same time and just play through together and be like, oh, well, I already found rocks. And it's like, oh shit, I'm like in the middle of a forest, I can't find any damn rocks. And it's just really interesting to see, like, because that game is so randomized, you can start in like completely different locations and have completely different game progression depending on where you started. So that's how we used to do it, is we just kind of like started at the same time, we would screen share or whatever.
Yeah, that would be, I'd love to do that with Oni, just playing at the same time and mm-hmm. just group chat and be like, oh, one of my duplicates wet the floor and he just ruined the water source. I didn't build the bathroom fast enough. But yeah,
it's like playing The Sims with consequences.
Yeah. But I had an issue. I opened up some notes I had before we close out. I had an issue with the PS5 where I noticed I was watching Hawkeye on Disney Plus, and I guess there's some problem, which I haven't noticed it as much until recently. I don't know what it is, but like, if you watch content, so the PS5 by default has HDR on, and it stays on when you open up content, even if it doesn't have HDR. Now, in some rare instances, that can be annoying, but you can also change, you know, your TV to, you know, cinema and all that stuff, and that kind of negates it because now you're not on the HDR game portion. But for some reason, if the PS5 is left on there, I was watching Hawkeye, and like partway through the episode, I noticed the audio started drifting, Now, there was some like crackle sounds I heard at first, and I was like, this is weird. And like, it wasn't too bad in the first one. Like, I it managed to clean itself. But then in the second episode, it's like, yeah, it started to drift bad. I was like, what is going on? I was trying to Google it, like drift, drift, drift. And I found some random forum post or something. I was like, yeah, if you have HDR on, but you're not using an app that supports HDR, it can cause drift. And I thought maybe because I have my, so my, I'm watching it on my console. So the audio is going through the HDMI to the eARC HDMI port one, because it's the 4K one as eARC. And then I have an optical cable from the TV going to my Astro A50 base station. That way I can listen to my PC and my game content at the same time. If I'm like watching YouTube and playing a game or something. And then I have the extra out from the optical going to the soundbar. Because I'll use the soundbar instead of the TV speakers. So I thought maybe it was a case of where the audio was just going too far. And I'm like, but they're optical cables. Like the process delay shouldn't be that much. And I've never had this issue before because that's how I ran my soundbar previously. So then I turned off HDR. And sure enough, when I went back to the app, it worked just fine. And I had noticed it sometimes when I would play games and then I'd stop and I'd watch YouTube. And sometimes the YouTube audio would be off just a bit in my headset. And I'm like, that's weird. And I would just like close the app and open it back up or restart the PS5 and it'd be fine. But yes, it's weird. I hadn't noticed it like that bad before. Cause like I'd watch, well, Arcane isn't a good example because that Netflix has HDR. So it's fine there. But yeah, Arcane, maybe I haven't watched Arcane. We didn't talk about it last episode, I don't think. Or maybe I watched it after last episode. I forget. But that's the League of Legends show. Mm-hmm. That was great. I watched that. I'm rewatching it with the wife. We're just on episode 6.
Shockingly great. Don't understand how they, well, I mean, great lore, but I have very little interest in the game, and that show is shockingly great.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, everybody who has ever like been a fan of League of Legends is like, yes, the lore is fantastic, the game is awful, don't play it. So
yeah,
there was a lot of stuff, so it's like, hey, it's great that you're into League of Legends lore now, don't play the game.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like, I'm if you love Arcane, don't play League of Legends. Uh-huh. Yeah. That was pretty funny. But yeah, and they came out with like two games. There's like a rhythm game they came out with, I think, on Switch and mobile, and then there's like some other PC like kind of RPG, turn-based RPG with lanes, kind of, and the overworld is kind of like Divinity. But I was looking at that, I was like, I don't know if I'll play this, but it's interesting that they came out with like these two other bits of content because they're, you know, interesting stuff. But yeah, Arcane's real good, so definitely check that out. But yeah, I with Black Friday, there's a lot of like exercise companies like Rep Fitness, Rogue Fitness are doing a lot of Black Friday. Well, not really Rogue Fitness, but a lot of exercise companies are doing like Black Friday deals right now. So I was looking at getting some stuff, but like I want to get a new bench just because the bench I have, I bought from Dick's Sporting Goods once, like a long years ago. And it was just like, you know, basic bench, adjustable bench. I'm like, oh, it's fine, I think. And it's got like a 500-pound weight capacity. So it's like, you know, the weight of the person plus the weight you're lifting. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I've had it for so long that like I was doing some incline bench press for it. And I started getting in my head that like I was thinking like as I was doing the workout, I was like, man, if the incline on this thing, like, because it's just the way it works in there, it's just this arced bar that comes out the middle of the back that's welded on and has holes in it for each different degree. So 90, 15, 30, 45, 75, all, or 70, all that stuff. And it's just held up by a thick pin that goes into it that you can like pull out to adjust it. And the pin goes through the hole and holds it there. I'm like, man, if this, like if the pin ever broke, cause like it just got worn out or the weight got too much. I'm like, I was just thinking like, I will fall back. I won't have control of the weights. So I can't bail them to the side, and I'm using power blocks, so I can't open my hand and just drop them like I would a normal dumbbell. I'm like, so then I would fall back, then I'd land at parallel to the floor on the bench, and then the weight would hit my arms, and I would probably hurt myself really bad because I couldn't bail me. So I'm getting in my head about this, like that this bench is going to break. So in my head, I'm like, I need to get a new bench. I need a new bench that has like 1,000-pound capacity.
And so I want you to walk your wife through like all of this and be like, this is why I need a new bench.
It's a safety thing. Well, it wouldn't be an issue. Like, cause once my rig comes in, then it'll be fine. Cause I have safety bars and I could start doing incline press with my barbell and not dumbbells. And then if anything were to happen, it would get caught by the safety bars. Mm-hmm. But I also, because the weight capacity is only 500, I was like, well, it'd be good to do it now. Plus, I'd rather have a much more sturdy bench. Like this bench, it's a little wobbly. It's not perfect. And again, I've had it for a while. So I would like to get like a nice, like 110 pound sturdy bench that just is made by a reputable company. And mm-hmm. and they are on sale for Black Friday. So I was like, hey, there you go. It did annoy me because when I was looking at that, it's like, it's only on sale for like, it's like $40 off, but it's got free shipping. I mean, the whole cup, most fitness companies have free shipping anyways, because it's built into the price. But, I was looking at it, I was like, okay, this is a great bench. Could get it. It's a little cheaper. But then I was looking at, I wanted to get like a specialty bar, like an easy curl bar. And they have a thing like easy curl bar on sale. And they show like the base price was like $230. And then next to it, they show the Black Friday deal. It's like $129. I'm like, okay. And I click on it. And it's like, no, it's two different bar types. It's like the one with the chrome finish was $229. And that's only like $20 off. And the one that's not the chrome finish is the one that's discounted down to $130 or what have you, but it's sold out. So I'm like, but the way they present it made it look like you're saving way more than you actually are because mm-hmm. it's two different finishes. And that kind of annoyed me. I was like, you're trying to pull a fast one on me, but it's fine. Because that's the shorter version. I'd probably want to get the rackable one. It's a little longer, but whatever. But I finally started using my barbell on a couple exercises, and that's been real nice to use. It's like, oh man, it's nice to it, because you said that the gym at your old place, they had all barbells, but I've only done unilateral exercises. Actually, I've never done any barbell work, so it was nice to be able to do it for like I did it for rows, RDLs, and just those two for right now until I get the rig in, so I can use it for bench and OHPs and stuff like that. But yeah, I was like, man, this is nice actually using a barbell, even though the thing's like 7 feet. So I have to like stand different in the room because it's so freaking long.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I need to find I want to get like a barbell holder for it, but it's like, it's so long. I think the ceiling is like, the problem is like the sleeve that they hold them in are like 7 inches long. So I'm like, okay, so I have to be able to pick this up 7 inches higher than it is tall. So I have to make sure there's enough clearance between it and the ceiling mm-hmm. so I can actually put it into the sleeve, which I could attach to the base of my plate tree, which will then also lift it up about a half inch off the floor. So that's 7.5 inches now. And I'm like, all right, I got to measure, make sure I can actually do this if I'm going to buy this thing. But
without poking holes in everything. Yeah, stabbing a hole in the ceiling.
Pick it up, stand. Oh, great. What is this hole from? Barbell. I picked it up. But
don't worry about it.
Yeah, because right now I just have it like leaning. It's resting on a mat, some foam tiles that I bought to put a bunch of heavy stuff on so it doesn't mess up the carpet too much. And just leaning in the corner in this alcove. I did buy a tennis ball and I cut it open and put it on the end of it. That way the bar's not just sitting against the drywall. And then also, if I, instead of having to buy a landmine press, which is like this attachment for a rig, I could just shove it with a tennis ball into a corner and imitate those exact same landmine motions without needing the equipment. Cause now I just have a tennis ball protecting the, the trim and the wall, mm-hmm. what have you. So, but, cutting that tennis ball was such a pain in the butt too. Cause I couldn't use scissors. I had to use a box cutter. It was just like getting it right. And then trying to put it on the end of the barbell. I was like, I didn't quite get it enough. And it was just like such a pain. It was like, it reminded me, I bought a steering wheel cover for my car. I was like, you know what? I usually don't buy steering wheel covers, but it was like, I'll buy one for this. Cause sometimes, during the hot summer months, like if it gets hot, I don't want to touch a hot steering wheel, what have you. And I was like, plus protect the material and whatnot. I'm like, all right, I'll buy one. This is a nice one. And it's got a good thing. And it's like, I read all the reviews. It's like, yeah, it's great. It's a pain to put on, all this and stuff. Like, someone's like, one guy's like, yeah, I almost had to call the doc, the ambulance, because after struggling to put the thing on for 40 minutes, I was like, it can't be that hard, right? And again, I was like, yeah, it was pretty tough. And I got it on, and it was also crooked. And of course, I couldn't.
You can't turn adjust it. Yeah.
Because it's on a wheel, uh-huh. and it's also really like the material on it really just held on to the the stream wheel itself. So I had to take it off and then fix it. But then I put it on in a much better way. I was like, okay, put it on this way. So I changed it. And I was like, okay, that's much easier. Still difficult, but much easier. But yeah, crazy equipment. But yeah, all right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. So thank you for all tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zach. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we'll see you all next time.
Bye. Bye.